Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. I started late today because I was tired. I've been working all day on plugging my dishwasher, and I was successful. I wanted to get done by the end of the day because tomorrow I'll be on Mark Collett's show, so I won't have time during the day to work too much. So I wanted to be done today, and I wanted to run before the hardware store closes. I wanted to have all the pieces, and I'm finally done. We got the dishwasher to do a full cycle and to wash dishes. It's been years that Mama JF has been washing dishes, and I thought, let's robotize the process. And it's been long before we got there, because simply when we bought the house, there was no spot for the dishwasher. So I had to create one from scratch in the counter, destroy the existing dryers. So I've been doing this for 3 days now. And I can share some of the things I've discovered, because I finally took the courage to do electrical, to not call an electrician and do it myself. So I've learned things about electrical, and it's pretty easy. I mean, there's nothing complicated. It's really three wires. There's a hot, neutral, and ground, and it's just as you think. You need to bring them to wherever you need the service. It's as easy as this. Electricity all revolves around these three components. And I learned stuff about the wires. I didn't know there were four color wires, and they carry two hot lines so that you can divide on two different breakers. That way a single wire can bring you two breakers of activity to a given spot. And I was lucky enough that when I started demolishing the counter, the electrical plug that was there happened to be a four wire carrier. So actually the two different outlets were each plugged on a separate line of hot, and so that meant that they each had their breaker, two 15 amps breaker. So I was able to take one from the outlet and redirect it to the dishwasher. It was as easy as this, but it was a lot of work, because you have to pass your hand behind the wall, and because this house has been built for so long ago that they've actually layered many layers of floor one above the other. So the floor was now higher than the original counter height. So I had to dig through the floor so that the dishwasher would fit in the original intended counter height. And that was like, I discovered five layers of floor, some tiles, some kind of tapestry-like paper, and then there were layers of wood that could be removed. Now playing in the wall has meant, a lot of shoulder work, so I was so tired, and you have to be in such weird positions to screw everything properly with the dishwasher and with the setting of the counter. I totally wrecked my back, so I wanted to have some break before I get to the show. Dino Logovic says, did you get a cramp, JF? Confined spaces suck. Not a cramp, but just extremely exhausted muscles of my back and shoulders. Because it's crazy. A counter is a complex thing. Laying in it and screwing something from inside in some specific corner of it is not an easy thing to do. So someone shared this paper. Let's see what it's about. Our latest paper, we show that genetic diversity is a new genetic factor in cognition challenging the out-of-Africa model. Genetic diversity in human is under selection and has little to do with long evolutionary time or being human ancestors. The San have the highest genetic diversity and the lowest cognition/civilization in humans, and are believed to be the ancestors, i.e. out of Africa. The only alternative is the maximum genetic diversity theory, that genetic diversity has an upper limit, which is inversely proportional to brain function or complexity. Okay, this guy has been feeding... I know this guy, I know his works before, And they've been a lot of people have become fan of his work for undermining certain racial theories. And I don't. There was a Apollonian text on this. I don't even remember what it was about, but yeah, it was all about this genetic diversity argument. I don't know. I'll have to read the paper. I'll have to read the paper. It's a hard thing to affirm, although it's a theoretical possibility that genetic diversity is a subject of selection. That is, you gain genetic diversity in the interest of your genes and you lose genetic diversity in the interest of your genes. It's possible, but whether we can know that this is happening at any place in the world is gonna have to, is gonna have to show me some solid science to, for me to believe this, because we barely can tell you if a gene is under selection right now. And you're going to tell me that we can tell you for sure that genetic diversity is like a construct of numerous genes and how they can be diverse or not diverse. We are in a world of complexity above the question of a single gene. Yet, a single gene, we don't have the techniques today to fully tell you in all cases, although, you know, we can develop arguments, but it is very hard to tell you whether a single gene is under natural selection pressure. We have tricks, we have ways of arguing that it is or not, but it's super hard. Genetic diversity is even harder. Grapes Coda says, isn't that just bottlenecking highly specific traits for extreme environments? Highly fertile environments allow for greater variation. It is super complex. Super complex. Could be bottlenecks, could be other things. But it's an interesting argument to say, look, we assume that... we don't even assume this. That's the problem. We don't assume that because Africa has higher genetic diversity, that it is at the root of all life, all human life. We don't really assume this. So there's always something interesting in this guy's works, but there's also a lot of questions raised that I'm not sure I side with his interpretation. I'll read the article and I'll let you know. More and more, what we are bound to see is the appearance of the exploit of ChatGPT for being kind of industrially soliciting stuff like jobs. And can you imagine very soon you won't be only competing with the thousands of other humans who want your job? You'll be competing with the humans who are using ChatGPT to spam job applications and networking attempts like this one. This is extremely worrisome.
Someone created a ChatGPT Google Sheets extension, and I wondered, how can we use this to make job searching and networking easier? I asked ChatGPT to give me 10 clean tech startups and their CEOs. Then I asked ChatGPT to write me a 2-sentence description for each of these companies using the cells over there. And then I just dragged that same command down and it came up with these descriptions. Then I asked ChatGPT to write me a LinkedIn connection message to all of those CEOs. And I dragged that prompt down to make more responses. And then I realized I know nothing about clean tech, so I need a coffee chat question. So I asked ChatGPT to give me a question based on the CEO. And I dragged that prompt down like an Excel function. And I came up with this Excel sheet that tells me who to contact, how to contact them, and a question for them. Here's the extension again. It's free, not sponsored. I just saw this today and I thought it was cool.
Holy fucking hell, it's about to become hell in here. This is like, I hate this because it's spam entering the legitimate social world. It used to be that legitimate social chatting was a way to measure people, to learn about them. And if these people do that, then suddenly, the first impressions, the whole idea of, hey, I'm going to read the email, and, oh, that sounds like someone who's intelligent. But now, it's not the person who's writing it, it's ChatGPT behind generating all this. That is super sad, and it's going to end up being exploited in a way that will just make human life just regular human not using ChatGPT, much harder. Aquanote says, JF, spam entering the social world. JF, the entire social world is spam, though, as we have explored on this show. It was spam, but with a signaling purpose. Of course, all the crap that normies talk about on an everyday basis, it's all crap. It's all spam. But people are sizing each other's brain with this. And that is a very good function. It's kind of an indirect effect. You're not even caring about what the other person is saying, but you're measuring the similarity between your cognition and their cognition. You're measuring their value. You're comparing yourself. Those are legitimate functions of the social world. And we're losing this because now the whole job market will be penetrated by these people who have caused social interactions to exist that aren't, that doesn't even belong to them. Okay, so just a quick note on dishwashers before we jump in the news, because I like to share when I learn stuff, and I've been sharing a lot of plumbing knowledge, and it's important that you also have dishwasher knowledge and electrical knowledge. So I took a box like this, approximately. I can't exactly see the box I took, but something like this. So I had an electrical outlet that was already on my counter. I unscrewed it. I removed the inside. I detached the wire from it. And then I passed the wire below the counter and into the counter in the place where I wanted the dishwasher. Now, in the place where I wanted the dishwasher, I've made this line enter. Now, it turned out that this line was a four-wire line, ground, red and black hot, so two lines of hot electricity, and white was the color of the neutral wire. So basically what I found is that my electrical plug had two independent breakers for up and down. So it was independent wires coming here and coming here. And that allowed me to, okay. So I undo this wire, and I extended this wire so that it would touch this. So now I have an electrical electrical outlet that's only plugged on a single breaker. And the other breaker can be dedicated to the dishwasher, because sometimes Mama JF can use, demanding apparatus. So I didn't want it to be on the same breaker as the dishwasher. So I find myself with an outlet that has abandoned its double breaker nature. You can just make a longer wire that will go under the two screws, and that will power the two sides with the same breaker. And going back to my box, so when I split the four wires, I sent one wire back carrying three wires to the outlet so that it would still be powered. And I've sent three other wires toward the dishwasher. So that's all you need. At the lower right section of your dishwasher, you're going to have a white wire, a black wire, and a ground screw. So the ground screw, you just put the ground wire. The white wire, you connect it with the white neutral. And the black wire, you connect it with the black hot. And that's all you need to power a dishwasher. Now, dishwasher, you need to plug three things: electrical, drain, and water. And it's connected on the hot water. So for the drain, I use these hoses. I put them one after the other until it would reach under my sink. And then I connected it to, I chopped with a saw the ABS pipe under the sink. And I had a little adapter that could be put instead of the part that I chopped. And this adapter also has a T sending to a hose like this. Now these hoses, please note that they will always look too big, but you have to cut them with a cutter, because you see here that's 1 inch diameter. That's a smaller diameter, and you have a smaller diameter there. This is designed so that you can cut with a cutting knife wherever you need for having the right size. So I had to cut them right here, and it will fit perfectly. The adapter right here, I cut it, and it fit perfectly, the adapter for the ABS pipe under the sink. Now, T.S. Apostolos says, did you loop the drain up? Absolutely. So one important aspect is that the dishwasher is a low element, you know. And so that's one of the first thing that will get filled with sewer water if you have an accumulation of sewer water that goes back up. So to defend against this, you create a supplementary loop, and there's already a loop that kind of does this on the side of the dishwasher, but you want to do a larger one that just attaches to the countertop the highest you can within the counter. And in fact, some people do a air gap where the tube actually goes up. It's a U-shaped tube, and it goes out a little bit above the countertop. In my case, it wasn't needed. I was pretty sure that just doing a loop, touching the countertop, and then going back down would be okay. But I did more than a loop, because actually I had to carry this pretty far, because the kitchen wasn't designed to have a dishwasher at the right place. So I kind of had to find a place that it fit, but then I had to carry about 12 foot to get it to the sink. So instead of just doing a loop, I actually attached it to the countertop the whole way, and then it gets down into the ABS of the sink. So it's like a very long loop. Now, the goal of a loop is that by being higher, you will have all of your sink catching the pushback of the sewer before it gets into your dishwasher. The problem being, if you have sewer water in the dishwasher, it's harder to clean, and it's you want this to go to the sink first, and then worst case scenario in the dishwasher. Go Away says, dishwasher are tools of the globalist to encourage women out of the home and into the workforce. Disappointed you invested in such satanic technology, JF. Well, hopefully that doesn't have this effect. So that is the 1.5-inch ABS connector. So you chop with a saw the ABS here, you chop here. They have a little glue that's called the ABS cement. It allows you to, you put it on the inside and you put it on the outside of the tube, and you just connect. And that is the little T-connector where the dishwasher hose comes in. So those hoses don't need to be super glued together or whatever. It's not like pressured water. There will be some pressure, because the dishwasher kicks out the drain water with some energy, but it's not pressured water. It's just a little flow of water. So the little rings that you can screw to tighten are sufficient for these hoses to be connected to each other. So they're already rubber hoses that kind of grab each other. You add a little O-ring, and that's all good. As far as the arrival of water, what I did is a PEX line that comes out of the hot water under the sink. So I chopped the copper tubes, the copper pipes that existed there. I've inserted a PEX connector with a push-in fit connector. Then I went to a T-doubler, and so I doubled the hot line, made it go to the dishwasher. And the dishwasher, ultimately, you're going to have to go from PEX to threaded here with pipe compound, and then to hose fit connector. That's a hose connector that ultimately attaches down at the dishwasher. And there you go. It all worked on the first attempt. I didn't get any leak. I'm getting better and better at this whole plumbing stuff. I'm becoming a good plumber. And so the hardest thing was the demolition work, because there were drawers there. It was a functional counter already. I had to destroy things. I had to open the wall to put out the electrical. That was the toughest job, because there were a lot of nails, and I was with the reciprocating saw and trying to get it clean so that the dishwasher would fit in. Elon Musk publicly mocks Twitter worker with disability who is unsure whether he's been laid off. it's not clear to me that Elon Musk... Elon Musk says, in a separate tweet, the billionaire said Tor Leifson did no actual work, claimed as an excuse that he had a disability that prevented him from typing. So apparently this guy has a degenerative disease, muscular dystrophy, which keeps him from typing. But bro, you're working from home, you can't type, what are you going to do? I mean, there's a whole conversation. This guy actually wasn't sure if he was fired. He said, "Dear Elon Musk, 9 days ago, the access to my work computer was cut, along with about 200 other Twitter employees. However, your head of HR is not able to confirm if I'm an employee or not. You've not answered my emails. Maybe if enough people retweet, you'll answer me here." Elon Musk, always with his classical sentence, "What work have you been doing?" "I would need to break confidentiality to answer this question here. If you have your lawyers, share in writing that I can do that, then I'd be happy to discuss that openly." "It's approved," says Elon Musk. "You go ahead." He says, among others, "I led the effort to save about $500K on one SaaS contract, supported closing down many others, led prioritization of design projects across the company to make sure we were able to deliver with a small team." So, leading prioritization, So you've done nothing. You've ordered the order with which you would go on working on projects, but that is not working on projects. That is high level abstract unneeded work from the perspective of Elon Musk. He led design critical crits to help level up design across the company, was hiring manager for all design roles, worked on efforts to steer the company away from focusing on power users and on to younger users because our user base is aging. Elon Musk answers, level up from what design to what? Picks or it didn't happen. Oh my God, Elon Musk is the perfect boss. I love how he approaches leadership. We haven't hired design role in 4 months. So basically you're telling us that you've been working on hiring manager for design roles. We haven't hired a single design role in 4 months. So what you claim to have been doing must have been at least 4 months ago. And he says, what changes did you make to help with the youth? And he says, would you say that you're a people person? That is so hilarious. I love Elon Musk. He says, I'm not going to lie, this is the most entertaining exit interview I've ever witnessed. It's many layers of fucked up, though. Elon Musk says, the reality is that this guy, who is independently wealthy, did no actual work, claimed as his excuse that he had a disability that prevented him from typing, yet was simultaneously tweeting up a storm. Can't say I have a lot of respect for that. Oh my God. Well, maybe he has a speak device that allows him to tweet, but the speak device may be unfit to do, I don't know, maybe unfit to do work. It's obvious he did all middle management work from that exchange, but I personally would not put an ex-employee on blast and force them to prove their worth in front of 100 plus million people. Anyways, while you're here, sign up for my new product. Okay, so this was all a publicity stunt for his new Spendozo, take control of your SaaS spending. SaaS means software as a service. He didn't force you to explain in front of 100 million people your job. He offered you, since you initiated a public conversation, he offered you to continue the interview publicly. But that is what Elon Musk has been saying to everyone. What have you been doing this week? What have you been accomplishing that makes Twitter different this week? Beautiful approach to leadership here. And this guy being independently wealthy, that is interesting because there are people who are withdrawing salaries from these big corporations that absolutely don't need it. Meanwhile, we have a lot of people who would be ready to sacrifice everything to just have a shot at the job. And they, you can see these people, they end up occupying leadership roles, doing very abstract things like, oh yeah, youth hiring and focusing on youth. Did you feel any focus on the youth at Twitter? I didn't see it happen. Ariel Suarez says, I hope it's not a big ask, but do you have reliable studies suggesting gender is not just a social construct? Well, this is a weird ask. The thing is, you're not going to have a study that shows this because it's not a scientific question whether something is a social construct. Gender, defined in certain circumstances, can be thought of as a psychological entity, can be thought of as a linguistic entity. So there's not going to be a scientific study about this. Mahal Asman sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, what makes you such a fan of Bitcoin when HEX has increased 3x in the last 2 months? How long will it take for Bitcoin to follow suit? Oh, the thing is, you are selecting this out of a totally biased time window. You know, X went down much more than Bitcoin. Let me check the value of HEX. So if you were to adopt the view that, hey, I'm just going to throw my money into HEX. Let me just, I'm trying to pull the coin market cap graph of it. If you were to go with the mentality, okay, I'm going to invest everything I have into X, HEX has been going from 50 cents to, at its low, 1 cent. You lost 50x. If you entered in at the peak of HEX, there is never a situation in which you've lost 50x going into Bitcoin. So that is, if you are a serious investor who's putting not only his life savings into crypto, but you know the potential life savings of your own children and their future houses and their future is in your hand, you'd be absolutely insane to put it all in X. You'd be absolutely intelligent to put it all in Bitcoin. Now, that doesn't mean to not get HEX. HEX is a fun thing. I got a little bit of it just for the fun. But I'm not going to put all of my life saving in something that can do 50x down. Are you insane? Bitcoin doesn't do 50x down because there would be clever people. If Bitcoin does 10x down, there's going to be people say, ah, here's my chance. I'm getting into Bitcoin. But HEX can do major variations because it's a cryptocurrency that Richard Hart has a lot of it. There are big whales. You never know what will be the future of it. Maybe the memes will run out and eventually people get tired of it. It's not a wise thing to put a massive sum in it. Steven Robinson says, Jeff, if you are going to do this comparison, do the same comparison since the new year. No, because the new year is an arbitrary criteria. Let me tell you this. X has done 50x down. Bitcoin has never done 50x down ever in the entire history of Bitcoin. That should worry you. That should worry you if you are a guy who's trying to tell me to get more into X. You never know. One day it's going to be the... And I know you're going to tell me, well, it will go back up. I hope it goes back up. But one day it's going to be 50x down. It's never going back up. Bitcoin will keep going up, no matter what. Ariel Suarez sends a super chat. He says, thank you. I guess it helps, lol. Yeah, sometimes there are questions that are not answerable simply because they ask for something that cannot be by definition. And that was what your question was. By definition, you can't have a scientific study that addresses whether something is a social construct because it's not even defined. What is a social construct? Is a social construct in contradiction with reality, in contradiction with the natural world? Or can we have social constructs about things that are true? It doesn't mean anything. So when you see people say, oh, that's a social construct. Sometimes I will say these things, but it's a parody, basically. But if someone is doing it, first degree intended meaning, that person has something that they don't understand. FixDSM says, lol, Hex is outperforming BTC and ETH since inception. Charts don't lie. Well, the problem is you are using an... I'm going to go back to it. You are using an arbitrary window of time. Do you understand, hexagons? Listen to me, you little hexagon. The inception of Hex starts at a time where BTC had already been incepted. Go back to the inception of Bitcoin. And when Bitcoin was 1 cent, and calculate how Bitcoin got from 1 cent to 20,000 today. And FixDSM says, I'm talking since the start of BTC and ETH. But even that is a problem because we're not at the start of Hex. We're neither at the start of X nor at the start of Bitcoin. Those considerations are irrelevant. Those considerations are irrelevant to a current decision maker. Aquanote says, this show is going to build a wall around Hex and Exico is going to pay for it. And that wall just got twice higher. No, I mean, yeah, the Exicans have unlimited cope. There's nothing more annoying than the fucking Exicans. It's like, seriously, guys. You are promoting a shitcoin. I get it. That's the most exciting shitcoin out there. Okay? But it's like, have some decency. Holy shit. Have some decency about not acting like you're promoting some solid financial thing or whatever. You are promoting a shitcoin. Steven Robinson says, Jeff, you better unfollow me on Twitter. Well, no, I'm not going to unfollow you, but it's just, holy shit, you guys. It's like, do you understand you are promoting a shitcoin? I have this shitcoin. It's the only shitcoin I have. I love it. I love Hex. But you guys are making dragon images every day. Like Steven Robinson is like on another level. I've never seen even equal amounts of enthusiasm and promotion for Bitcoin or for ETH for that matter. And these guys are like insane about HEX. I get it. When you own a shitcoin, you want other people to buy your shitcoin so that you can have a nice limbo. You're trying to get people to pay for your limbo. Good job. That's what the whole world is about. Good luck in your path. You know, I wish you success. Because if you have success, then my HEX has success too. But you're still promoting a shitcoin. When you show up to the Capitol building in face paint and a buffalo hat, this meme is hilarious. This is in relation to the Tucker Carlson revelation of the results of the 47,000 hours of footage of the January 6th insurrection. And what we learn is that basically, I mean, I kind of knew this, and it was my position that these people, the QAnon shaman and many others, were misled. They were brought into the Capitol with open arms and open doors. They were made to believe that, okay, as long as you stand beside the police, it's going to be okay. And then they were accused of an insurrection against the American government. And what we see is the QAnon video. Shaman.
It is very clear what happened once he...
Look at this. The QAnon shaman is going in and...
He got inside.
The police are following him, and it doesn't sound like a crime is getting committed. If a crime is getting committed, as Tucker says, why isn't he getting arrested by the police?
Actually, every moment of his time inside the Capitol was caught on tape. The tapes show that Capitol Police never stopped Jacob Chansley. They helped him. They acted as his tour guides. Here's video of Chansley in the Senate chamber. Capitol Police officers take him to multiple entrances and even try to open locked doors for him. We counted at least 9 officers who were within touching distance of unarmed Jacob Chansley. Not one of them even tried to slow him down.
So that is, how can you be in jail for this? The videos show clearly that the people who were representing authority for Jacob Chansley, I think that's his name. This guy was seeing police, was seeing the authority of the Capitol from his perspective, welcoming him. It's like when you're on a private land and you get prosecuted for trespassing. It's very important that you were aware that the owner didn't want you there. Because if the owner is there offering you a free beer, saying, hey, let's try this door. Let's see if we can enter in that room. That would invalidate your trespassing prosecution. But how is that not invalidating here? Aquanaut says, stream is F. Did we lose connection? Personally, I'm still connected. Other people in the chat can let us know if they have an issue. It seems that other people are still receiving the stream. Go away, says JF. It's unfair to say he is unarmed. The police were not aware at the time of what level of shamanic power he had. Yes, and also silence is violence. And so he doesn't seem to be speaking very much on these cameras. So silence is violence. Now, unbelievable. Mitch McConnell is against the transparency that Fox News is allowing the general public to see these freaking videos. What the fuck? What? This guy is supposed to be a Republican, and he doesn't want us to see the truth about January 6th?
It was a mistake, in my view, for Fox News to depict this in a way that's completely at variance with what our chief law enforcement official here at the Capitol thinks.
What the fuck? Trust the police? Is that your position on this? Mitch McConnell is completely disconnected. It's basically trust the science all over again. Now it's trust whatever the Capitol Police has concluded here. It's on paper. We can't have Fox News having their own opinion and showing the facts to the people. Unbelievable. This guy needs to be switched to the Democrat Party. As Elon Musk was saying, I keep forgetting what party he's working for. NBC says Tucker Carlson, with newly released video provided to him by Speaker McCarthy, falsely portrays the January 6 riot as a peaceful gathering. Isn't that hilarious? The left has been falsely portraying things as peaceful protest, fiery but peaceful protest. Now they are accusing Tucker Carlson of making the insurrection look too peaceful. And Dr. Lynn Finderella was sharing this segment, which wasn't shared on Fox News, Tucker Carlson, but it's just a bunch of people dressing beside the protest on January 6th. But I guess that the suggestion from a lot of people seeing this video is they must have been some kind of secret agents or provocateurs agents from the government. I don't know that we can necessarily conclude that from the video, but it's interesting to see the kind of quick pace with which they are changing. Whether they work for the government or police or not, certainly this looks like a bunch of people getting ready for provocative action, perhaps getting ready to be dressed all the same way to avoid identification. And in fact, as the guy approaches with his cell phone, one of them will be yelling, erase the video! Delete that. See, we've heard delete that. So those were people who didn't want to be recognized, whether they were in the government, police or not, I don't know. Dr. Deadname says, how can you live with people who look at the same thing you're looking at and see something completely different? Well, you live through isolation, basically. You put yourself in a position where their delusion doesn't affect you. Unfortunately, that's harder and harder to do as the government becomes more powerful. If you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. If you want to have the dollar button under your chat, don't hesitate to add a payment method in your Odyssey account. I did a quick checkup of the Euromomo excess deaths. You know how I've been alarmed that since classically what we've always had is a double season of flu and heat death. So lots of people dying around the winter, lots of people dying at peak summer. And that's always been like this. And since the vaccine, we've been having higher than the dotted red line, higher excess death. And it's not just the two waves. The two biannual waves continue. But we, no matter whether we're in that wave or not, we stay above the red line, which has been extremely worrying to me. Now, for the first time in a long time, we are below the expected excess death. So we are below statistically. There's a significant lower amount of people for the first time in the eighth week of 2023. We have lower death than would be expected based on our models. So what does that mean? Well, it may mean simply that people have stopped taking the vaccine. And it may also mean that whatever was killing people in the last year, 2 years, 3 years, it has killed everyone it had to kill. And whoever remains is capable of handling the sixth booster, you know? But Yeah, when you have big waves of statistical variance toward higher excess death, it's understandable that there will be a backlash at some point. You cannot always be above the red line by definition. There has to be an overcorrection, basically, simply out of the out of one moment. Simply because of the statistical way in which we define excess death, if it goes high, it has to go low at some point after. DK Shadow says, yep, selection. It could be a selection. There's been a selection effect, and going forward, there may not be further higher excess death. And anyways, I think a lot of people have just stopped taking the boosters. So I think we're out of the period where people are re-exposing themselves to it. It's going to be interesting to see eventually the curves of global vaccination superimposed on the curves of excess death and perhaps even the total world population numbers. I'd like to see all of this being processed cleanly. Speaker's Corner says, Jeff, can you invite Ethical Skeptic onto the show? I typically don't do guests anymore, so I'm willing to talk to anyone, and I'm willing even to have guests, but they will have to solicit me. Because to be honest, I feel great delivering my thoughts on an everyday basis, and this is not a guest show anymore. It's just not, and I'm still up to have guests if they solicit me, but I'm not going to write requests anymore. I've been doing the most interview perhaps in the entire history of live streaming, okay? I have more than 1,000 interviews under my belt. I got tired of it, and it's nothing, it's just the way it is. I got tired of it, and at this point, I'm only interested at speaking to people on their show. Or if they solicit me and they want to come on my show, I will welcome them. But I'm not going to write these emails anymore asking. It's my autistic period, and it might last a decade still. So if you want a guest, a show with guests, just go elsewhere because it's not going to come back soon here. I kind of like the little Twitter space moment we had. But at the same time, the quality of the people that come onto the Twitter space was not super interesting. There was Stardust, for example, showing up, being respectful to me. What an hypocritical bitch. She goes back to her... She took those recordings of the Twitter space interaction with me, which I've went through the interaction. She seems like a leftist, respecting me and everything. Okay. But she takes these clips and she puts it with a heavily edited video on her channel with insults thrown at me. And it's like, so you act respectful when you're in front of me. But then you go out there and you do this editing and suddenly it's JF is a crappy asshole. And it's like you've interspersed these attacks on me in my back when you could have done them to my face. What the fuck is wrong with this fucking whore? Digital ID, US government poised for national rollout while Australia finds its North Star to... harmonized standards. So they started with a digital ID that was meant for governmental service. They would like to extend it to the whole population. That sucks. That really sucks. And there's another concern about privacy, which is DeSantis. DeSantis was denouncing this Florida legislator blogger registry proposal. During his State of the State news conference Tuesday, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis denounced State Senator Jason Broder's bill which would require bloggers to register with the state. I've never heard something as stupid as this. What the fuck? This is not going to happen in the US. It's completely ridiculous. It was not anything I've ever supported. I don't control every single bill that has been filed. Why do they want? It's an embarrassment that it is a Republican state legislator in Florida who introduced a bill to that effect. He should withdraw it immediately. He has called for bloggers to register with the state if they want to write about the state's governor, lieutenant governor, cabinet members, or legislative officials. That is absolutely ridiculous. Not going to happen in the US. It wouldn't survive. What the fuck are they talking about? Aquanote says, translation, some rich people don't like the peasants saying things. Yes. If the governor has this kind of protection, I want this kind of protection. How about you register to talk about Papa Jeff? Like, the 14th Amendment, I should have the same right as the governor. So if the governor has a protection from bloggers, I want it. Lynching the deplorables, the criminal investigation undertaken by the federal government against hundreds of participants in the January 6th storming of the U.S. Capitol is polarizing the country and shredding civil liberties. Absolutely. What we see is they've been brought there by the police. It was all good and good. And then the Democrat decided to use their governmental apparatus to just go at these people with the harshest sentences possible in the circumstances. It's really a political prosecutorial system that they've put together. And we have to stop this. It's ridiculous. Leftists don't get punished like this when they put stuff on fire. And oh yeah, by the way, we learned that, yesterday I showed that Antifa was attacking a headquarter of police. We learned that among the people arrested is a lawyer, a SPLC lawyer. So we were wondering yesterday, a lot of these people had white skin. I pointed to the lack of racial diversity. But of course, I wanted to be clear that I didn't mean white in the sense of white European. I just meant white skin. And SPLC lawyer accused of domestic terrorism in Antifa-linked attack on Atlanta police site granted $5,000 bail. 28-year-old Thomas Webb Jurgens, an attorney for the Southern Poverty Law Center. Those are the kind of people who are going after me and after people like me for speaking on the public space, just regular sharing of opinion, political opinions. And they treat us like terrorists, but they're the ones with the little mask and the little Molotov cocktails and putting stuff on fire. Holy shit. A lawyer of the SPLC. It shows you the degree of control these institutions that are supposed to go after extremism. They are extremists of their own. Zelensky warns of open road through Ukraine's east if Russia captures Bakhmut as he resists the calls to retreat. So that's what Zelensky is saying. They're defending Bakhmut so hard because apparently, if Russia has Bakhmut, they have a network of connections, roads to the rest of the east of Ukraine. Okay, but you can destroy the roads. Like, if you don't like those roads, if they annoy you, you could bomb them, couldn't you? Go away, says Jeff. If you blog about politicians in Australia, you will be classified as a fixated person and you will be investigated by the fixated person's police unit. And he says, I'm not joking. I have no difficulty believing you. Australia is another level of stuff. It's another level of invasions of private liberty. What else do we have in the news? Oh, yeah, people were sharing on the Discord this Andrew Tate argument. I think I may have reviewed it before. That's a long time ago. But it's an argument. It's an argument about how about it. Basically, it's a theory of relativity of the gayness of gay acts. Basically, Andrew Tate demonstrates, just like Albert Einstein had been doing for physics, what Albert Einstein has done for physics, Andrew Tate does it for the trans and gay question.
Ignore the construction, I'm rebuilding my mansion. You'll see when it's done, we'll do an episode of Cribs. I had to get this area here. I bought my neighbor's house. I had to construct a specific area for the Bugatti. Anyway, that's all gonna be lit up and shit, Bugatti logos. Broke boys don't know. Listen.
Broke boys. Hey, I'm one of the broke boys you were talking about, Andrew Tate, and I enjoy liberty. And now you're in jail.
Recently posted a question on Twitter asking, would you rather have sex with a transsexual, which is a legitimate 10, or a woman, which is a legitimate 1? And everyone's sitting there clicking woman, 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 because they think they're going to be gay if they do anything else. But they're not actually thinking about the question. I am so smart. I operate on so many levels higher than the average man.
Andrew Tate is so much above everything that he has worked himself up into accepting a gay act. And see the relativist argument he will use.
You people are not thinking about the question. When I say a 1 and a 10, I mean Megan Fox with a dick. That's the tranny. Or Hulk Hogan with a pussy. That's the girl. This is the question I'm asking. Megan Fox or Hulk Hogan? So you're thinking, well, I don't want to be gay, so I clicked the girl, the number 1, did it? You're going to fuck Hulk Hogan? Okay, yeah, there's a pussy, but he's got mustache and muscles and shit. He's all hairy, big dude, 6'5".
So I understand. It's very hard to understand because this is very advanced stuff. But basically, a 1 out of 10 woman would look like Hulk Hogan, but would have a vagina. Now, he's saying you're insane, JF, for trying to fuck Hulk Hogan with a vagina. Go for the 10 out of 10 transsexual woman who would be a Megan Fox-like beauty, but with a dick. I'll still fuck Hulk Hogan with a vagina, to be honest. I think that Andrew Tate here is, he has been fooled by beauty, see? There is no amount of beauty that you can throw at me where I give up the idea of heterosexuality. I will fuck Hulk Hogan with a mustache as long as he has a vagina over and a functional woman reproductive organ. Over fucking a super beautiful trans with a dick. Because that would be gay.
It's pretty gay to me. That sounds pretty gay. I don't care if it's a pussy. That is.
Well, maybe I sound gay to you, but you're gay. You are objectively gay if you fuck a person with a dick.
It's gay. Whereas Megan Fox, okay, he's got a dick, but maybe you can, like, scoot it.
See the delusion. You can hide the dick around. If you don't see, see, that's the whole old age question of if there's a dick somewhere in the forest and you fuck the forest, but you don't see the dick. Is there really a dick? The answer is yes. There's a dick, just like there's a falling tree, just like there. Nothing relies on you perceiving it. The whole world keeps going. The whole world keeps going no matter what you hide to your eyes and your mind. And what you're doing, even if you don't know it, even if you successfully deceive your brain for a moment that you're not gay, you're still gay. It's an objective thing. You're gay like Schrodinger gay. Gay in the fucking box before anyone has opened it. You're Schrodinger gay, Andrew.
Out the way, I'm still Megan Fox. You know what I'm saying? At least she's small and shit and get your hand around her neck. Mess her up. You ain't messing up Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan's gonna mess you up. So this is the question I'm asking. You need to operate on a higher plane. Think about this. This is important.
I'm not interested in the higher plane.
This is cultural. This affects the world we now live in. What is straight? What is gay? It's all a big sliding spectrum.
Oh my God. This is such a leftist approach. Blurring the terms, blurring the boundaries. John Drake says, do we know if Tate has cancer yet? There was the report that was indicating worries for a pulmonary cancer. But the report could have been fake, could have been just a way to escape, to go see his doctor in whatever Muslim nation. But yeah, we still don't know the final take on this. We'll know when he's dead, you know. Shay Bowles says, now Russian victories are declared defeats. Oh yeah, the cognitive dissonance of the left is amazing. A Russian victory in Bakhmut would be a costly strategic defeat for Putin. You can't make this up. A Russian victory in Bakhmut would be a costly strategic defeat for Putin. Slavery is freedom. Victory is defeat. It's like the leftists want Russia to lose so bad that they will even interpret victory. It's a victory. It's a short victory, a superficial victory, but it's a deep loss. Speaker's Corner says, Jeff, you haven't followed up on the Scott Adams tirade where he walks it all back. Did he? Well, you're going to have to send me links because I guess that these things, the apology always means less than the initial statement. So you're going to have to send me a link because I have never heard about Scott Adams walking back on his stuff. But yeah, just send me a link and I'll be happy to process. GOP to use power of the purse against the FBI. Well, hopefully they do, but it's been time to do this 10 years ago. It's been time to do this when Trump had power with the Republican legislature and Congress. It was time to totally shut down the FBI, but you didn't do it. You didn't shut down the government, and we find ourselves with Democrat-dominated institutions. And it's a little too late to make something happen. Silver Spider says, Jeff, no, Jeff, Tate said he didn't have cancer. You have to see his statement about how long he thinks he's going to live. Haha. Well, send me a link. I'm not aware of this statement. What else did we have before we close the show? Elon Musk says he might put a propaganda warning label on CNN's tweets. Twitter owner Elon Musk suggested Monday that he may be compelled to place propaganda warnings on tweets posted by CNN after it emerged that the network actively discouraged staff not to look into or share any COVID lab origin information. That is so nice. Ultimately, we are at the convergence of many dreams of Elon Musk and many vengeance stories. I remember many years ago, Elon Musk had said he was pissed at the media. I think he was pissed because they were trashing Tesla and his Teslas were doing good. His sales were amazing. And yet the leftist media was trashing Tesla. And he said, I want to start a website that reviews media and that gives them a score of reliability. And that would have hurt a lot the mainstream media, I guess, if it had happened. But it never happened. But I think that Elon has a plan to turn his purchase of Twitter into this. He sees Twitter as a better way to approach the truth, to understand the narratives. And I think he's going to be putting up tools so that people can call out the narratives of the mainstream media to a point where perhaps eventually the mainstream media will have to leave Twitter. They won't be able to go there without getting insulted and getting reviewed. And eventually they're just going to find it intolerable to be subjected to true review. But I think anything that Elon can do in that direction, I'm excited about. Doubting Thomas says, JF, it seems that Elon has gotten rid of well more than 50% of the original Twitter employees, which, if I recall, was your threshold to claim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I remember putting a lot of conditions. I would have to rewatch my original statement, but I believe that I had said he needed to fire them at the moment, like 3 days within my statement. Like I said, if on Monday he does this, and I remember that I had reviewed the number back then that he had fired, and it was still not enough. So I'm super happy. I'm super happy that Elon ended up doing much more than 50% indeed. But I don't think he's done them in the time frame I was asking for. And anyways, if he did, I lied. I don't believe in Jesus Christ. Silver Spider says, scroll down to this tweet. He should live at least another 5,000 years. Okay, so that's the link I was asking for concerning the statement of Andrew Tate. Andrew Tate, I do not have cancer. My lungs contain precisely zero smoking damage. In fact, I have an 8-liter lung capacity and the vital signs of an Olympic athlete. There is nothing but a scar on my lung from an old battle. True warriors are scared both inside and out. Okay, but that's probably an old picture. That's probably not a picture of his current shape in jail. So I don't know. I don't know if that's trustable as a statement. In fact, now that you show it to me, I realize I had seen this statement. But it's not Andrew Tate tweeting these things, because the Twitter account of Andrew Tate is active all day. I don't believe he can tweet from jail. So who's doing those tweets? It's probably some handler of his web companies. So I'm not going to take it as a statement of fact. Growing number of January 6 defendants ask judges to delay trials in light of released footage. Well, that was to be expected. New evidence. It's going to be interesting to see if this can get some exonerations. Exonerations in the trials that are pursuing these January 6 protesters. So that is it for tonight, boys. I will be on Marc Collet tomorrow. What time is it? He told me the time, but it's going to be just a 10-minute appearance. I have to figure this out. He says it's at 9:20 p.m. UK time that I will appear. The show will start at 7 p.m. UK time, but UK time, London time, current London time is 2 a.m. We're currently 9 p.m. Eastern time. Plus 3 plus 2 equals 5 plus 5 minus 5. I will be on the Marc Collet show approximately at 4:20 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. And then we'll have our regular show. This is always complicated, coordinating with Europe. But isn't it fascinating? I will be at 4:20 p.m. Eastern time. You know, the 4:20 is the number that Elon is fascinated about because it's a code word for pot. friend of Gandalf sent a super chat during the outro. He sends $10. He says, why do you think Molyneux previously made claims about belonging to a specific tribe which you challenged? Was it an attempt by him to enter privileged circles? Oh, that's interesting. It's been a while since I haven't thought about this. Did I challenge this? I said that a mere story by his mother that she was Jewish was not sufficient. And you know, a lot of females, they have this way of interfacing with the present, and it's all they know. All they know is attract the empathy of the present males around you, including your own children, based on claimed delusions of suffering in the past. And I have the impression that Molyneux's mother was doing that a lot. He says that she was a very abusive mother psychologically and perhaps physically. I don't remember the details, but it looks like she has that pattern a lot of, you know, care for me because people have been evil to me. And from that, from the fact that she was making up so much stuff, I wouldn't exclude that she has made up this identity also. What I was saying is, without a genetic test, I wouldn't believe this necessarily. But why would he have made up this story for entering privileged circles? I don't think so. I don't see Stefan Molyneux as wanting to do that. I think that the problem is Stefan Molyneux was perhaps deceived a lot by what was told to him as a child by adults. And I think he himself would tell you this. He would tell you that that his mother was abusive, that, you know, this whole defooing, ridiculous accusations of him ultimately boil down to him having a belief that you shouldn't stay in abusive environments. You should free yourself from them. And that is totally legitimate. It's ridiculous that he's being pointed to as an extremist by some because of this. Like, the idea of not submitting yourself to abuse is pretty basic stuff. It's the exact same thing that Scott Adams is saying. Don't submit yourself to hate. Don't submit yourself to abuse. Friend of Gandalf says, I see. Cheers. Yeah, because I don't think that Stefan Molyneux has the type of personality to be lying like this in a way as to recruit social empathy and social networking. He's not that kind of guy. I don't see, although he has some failings in my view, this level of dishonesty is not something I would ascribe to him. That is it for tonight, boys, and thanks to Friend of Gandalf for his two super chats, saving the night with $15. Thank you.